Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. We're going to get into the series. Our series verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 13, you would normally hear this at a wedding. Three things last forever, Paul says. Three things: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Last Sunday, Steve spoke a brilliant word on, do you know how much you are loved? If you are blessed by that, put some chat in the chat room. Who we got on here? Lisa Kirsten, good evening, everyone. Morris, good evening. Stacy, hour of power. Some strong arms going up on the screen. Keep the chat. Keep talking. If you've got some prayer needs, let us know. We've got our prayer team and staff on hand to make sure that we're helping you in this hour. But Steve spoke a brilliant word. If you didn't have time or you weren't in church on Sunday, you can catch up on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please hit subscribe. So every time we create more content, it will drop straight into you. And it will let you know when the services are going live on your laptop, on your phone. So, all right. Well, tonight I'm going to build off the back of Steve's message on Sunday. And I'm going to pray that God shows you someone as I speak. God wants us not just to hear his words, he wants to be active in his word. And I pray as I speak that God shows you or reveals to you a name or a person or someone that you can put this message into action with. Okay, so everyone in the room is going to stand up. Everyone in your home is going to stand up. Everyone in their car is going to stay seated. Okay, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray tonight that God's word will be active in people's hearts and homes. We're going to pray for miracles. We're going to pray for turnaround. We're going to pray that God fills people with his spirit. If you believe it, at home, shout amen. In the building, say amen. 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 I can shout, you can't. Father God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you the evidence of your spirit is here, which is love and peace and joy. And Father, we need you tonight, Father, as we're in this lockdown season. And many of our church are separated from family and loved ones and friends. And normally we'd be doing so many other things tonight, Father. But Lord, there is no accidents with you, Father. You have ordained this moment. Father, Wednesday, November 11, 2020, you created this moment for us to be on YouTube, on Facebook, to be listening via podcast, to be in the room, Father, to experience your word. And I pray that your word would go into people's hearts, Father. I pray we'd put it into action this week. And many people, Father, Lord, would we be helped through this message in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, you can take your seats. Now, let me start off with something really positive. Is that okay? All right. Our world is in a real mess. In case you hadn't noticed, Brexit, racial injustices, I was going to say Trump, climate change, the financial debt which is mounting in our world. I mean, our world is in chaos. You name it, it's causing some anxiety in people's lives and in people's hearts. And the state of our world upsets me. I'm sure it upsets you too. The question is, what can poor little meaningless me, who is lost in this powerful, complex system, do to change anything? Does anyone else feel helpless right now in this season? When you see so much going on around you and think, what can little me do to change such big problems? How can I make a difference? Maybe if I put a clever tweet together, 129 characters, I could change the world. Maybe I could post a photo. Maybe I could speak my mind. Maybe I could shout at the cat. Maybe I could do something that would make a difference in this season and bring some sort of normality back to this chaotic world. And Jesus gives us an answer. But before I give you the answer to the question, I want to give you some context to the verse. Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience. Now, this Jewish audience has had their land occupied by Rome, the Romans. They've had their religious freedoms taken away and abused. They are now paying double taxes. So instead of paying 20%
to the government, they're now paying 40%. They've had all their rights stripped away. And so these people understand what it is to be locked down. They understand what it is to be under pressurized circumstances. And this is what Jesus said to the Jewish people in John chapter 13, verse 34. He said, in a season of not knowing, in a season of chaos, in a season of carnage, he says this, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. You've heard all the opinions in the streets, comments. Now I'm going to show you the only way, this is God speaking tonight, the only way we're going to survive this season in a mad world is three words. Love one another. Love one another. Jesus said this isn't just a suggestion, this is not an idea, this is not a tweet, this is not a statement. This is a command. He says a new command. I give to you. Jesus has given us a commandment. And by the way, what God gives us works. He says, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, if Christ lives in you, then your job is this. Are you ready? Your job is to love one another. I want to talk just for a few minutes tonight on the occupation of love. The occupation of love. Normally, I'll give you 3 points, but I'm going to give you two really long ones. Number one, if we're going to fulfill the occupation of love on earth and make a difference in this time, number one, we've got to remember we are resourced by heaven to love humanity. We're resourced by heaven to love humanity. Now, has anyone ever been employed in a job where you felt under-resourced? Has anyone ever been sent out on a job and you feel like you don't have the right tools? Thankfully, God does not work like that. God gives us a command to love each other, but then he gives us the how. Steve's put it so brilliantly. We can't begin to love others until we understand how much we're loved. And this is why it's so important, by the way, as parents in this season, to continually tell our children how much they're loved. Because if we want our children to love the way Christ loves them, we got to continually tell them that they're loved, even when they're little tinkers. You know, I say the same thing to our children every night before they go to sleep. I go into each of their rooms and I say, first of all, if it's Justice, I say, Justice, is there anything worrying you? Is there anything concerning you? And normally he says no, or he wants a snack. That's the only thing that could be concerning him, is he wants a Kit Kat at 9 o'clock at night. And that's not happening. But I say this to him, I said, Justice, if I lined up all the little boys in the whole world, I would always choose you first. And I won't go into Miracle and I say the same thing. Miracle, if I was to line up all the little girls in the whole world, I will always choose you first. Now, if you've got two of the same kids, that's going to be tricky, the same kind, okay? But that works for the Normans. That works for us. And I tell them this, I say, Miracle, I want you to know that Mommy and Daddy, we love you so much. But I always finish with this. I say, but I want you to know something even greater. God loves you even more than Mommy and Daddy. The last thing I want them to know is how much God loves them. You see, what goes into our children, what goes into us, is what will come out of us. When you go to work, the question is, does love come out? When you go online, does love come out? When you send your tweets, does love come out? God's love has to be in us so it leaks out of us. You know, I've used this before, but it's so good. I'm going to use it again. This is my friend, the teapot. Who loves a cup of tea? Don't even offer me a tea if it's not Yorkshire tea. I'm not interested in any other make. Anyone else loves Yorkshire tea? Put some tea love in the chat, okay? If you invite me around your house after lockdown, not before, we'll break the rules, don't want to do that. But if you do, make sure it's Yorkshire tea. But who remembers singing that little song at school? I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. When the little teacups hear me shout, tip me up and pour me out. Here's the deal, right? We're little teacups. We're only little teacups in a big world. And this is God in the teapot. Every day before we can pour out love to others, we've got to get under the spout. And most of us are dry because we don't fill up on God's love. And because we don't fill up on God's love, we can't give God's love out. And our world is toxic right now, not because there's not enough love, because there's plenty of love to go around. We're just not filling up. Tea is no good in the pot. And God's pot is full of love. And we can't pour out strength if we're weak. So every day we've got to go to the teapot. Never seen God's name as a teapot. It's just for the illustration. Don't send me an email. We've got to ask him to fill us little cups with his love. You see, we cannot love others until we understand, as Steve said, that we're filled with his love. Every morning, I want to encourage you in this season to get under the spout of his love. Allow his love just to pour in you. Allow him to tell you how much he loves you. The enemy wants to tell you how much shame and guilt and sin you can sit in. But God wants to tell you you're redeemed. God wants to tell you you're loved, you're forgiven. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen. I love what David said in Psalm 90, verse 14. The first time I'd ever seen this scripture today. He said, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. How good is that? Satisfy us in the morning. God's resource is his love. It's never ending. All right, that's point number one. Number two, we're employed by heaven to love humanity. First of all, we're resourced by heaven to love humanity. But we're actually employed by heaven to love humanity. In the good old days, the beginning of the year, you used to be able to fly on airplanes. And you get to choose your seat on an airplane, but you don't always get to choose who you sit next to. And often it's a treat to see who God has placed you by. And often it's a chore. Often you put your eye mask on straight away. Often you have a good chin wag. More often than not, when I fly, I get asked two questions like you do, if you're a talker. The first question I get asked is a very strange one. Where are you going? And I always think, funnily enough, the same place as you are. But anyway, but the second question I get asked is, what do you do? What do you do? Now, depending on the answer to the second question, depends how long the conversation will go. I remember many years ago, I was really tired traveling back from Australia, and someone said, you know, where are you going? What do you do? I said, oh, I'm a gynecologist. And that was the end of the whole conversation. That was it. So I'm just giving you a little tip. If you just want a quiet night's sleep on a plane, just make something up. However, if I say I'm a Christian and I'm speaking at a conference, oh, you believe in, and the conversation can go anywhere. Why am I telling you all that? Because people's definition of success is always outside of our Christian walk, determined by what we do. It's determined by what we do. So what people think of us is determined by that second question. So what do you do? Well, I'm a professor. Wow. I'm a professional footballer. Whoa. But God sees it different. God says our identity on earth is not in our job or our title. Our identity on earth is how we love people. On how we love people. And this is what in life we'll be remembered for. This is what our legacy will be on earth. Not the car we drove, the postcode we lived in. This is what we'll be remembered for. This is it. We all have a job, even if we don't have a job. We all have a job, even if we don't have a job. The job is called love. It is the occupation of our lives, as Jesus said, is to love one another. So if you're a student at school, if you're a student at uni, if you're in a factory, if you're filling your car with fuel, if you're a dad, a husband, a mum, here's the occupation of your life. First and foremost, before you're anything, you are a lover of people. If you're in between jobs right now, you actually have a job. How good's that? So there's no such terminology as I'm unemployed. Because your occupation as a follower of Jesus is to love others. You see, if we love people, people will see Jesus. So how do we love a hurting and a broken humanity right now? Because it's hurting. We get the answer from Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. It's a story of Jesus healing two beggars, two blind men. In verse 29 of chapter 20, it says, Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, and a large crowd followed them. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at them. But they only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Then Jesus heard them. He stopped and he called, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them and he touched their eyes. Instantly they could see and they followed him. In this story, Jesus sets out a blueprint, a template for us to love people. I spotted this afternoon. I want to share five ways to love people in a season where everyone is in, you know, there's so much toxicity, there's hate, there's so much, there's a hardness of hearts towards God, towards so many things. Jesus did five things. In fact, there's five verbs that jump out at me in this story. Five things Jesus did. Number one is he heard. Secondly, he stopped. Thirdly, he looked. Fourthly, he asked. And fifth, he moved. I want to just unpack these just for a moment as we look at this occupation of love. The first thing Jesus did is it says in verse 32, it says Jesus heard. We got to listen for clues in this season that people are in pain. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. Love always starts with listening. Always. Love always begins with listening. If you're struggling in marriage, if you're struggling in your relationship, here's where love begins, putting your listening ears on. People are in pain right now all over the place. You've only got to put the news on. People are in pain. You've got to go on Twitter. People are in pain. People are bleeding all over us. Every place, every day. People are hurting, but here's the deal. We don't always notice. Why? Because we live in bubbles. I'm not talking about socially distant bubbles. I'm talking about our life bubbles. We all live in bubbles. We go to the shops, we get the kids to school, we pick them up, we head to church, and we just move. And so because we're moving so fast, we don't hear people. And most of the time, we live life in receive mode. And receive mode is me, 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 me. That's the way the world lives, all about me. Me generation, me too generation. And people are crying out to be loved. And these two blind beggars, they were crying out to be loved. They were crying out to be heard. So what did they do? They heard that Jesus was coming to town. They started shouting. Stop! Jesus, have mercy on us. And people around them started shaming them. Be quiet. Be quiet. Jesus isn't interested in you. He's got bigger things to get to. And these blind beggars, they'd been marginalized. The Bible says that they sat at the side of the road. Everyone else was walking down the main path, but the beggars were pushed to the side. They were marginalized in society. And this is happening in our world right now. Millions of people are sitting on the sidewalks. They're in pain. And they're saying, someone notice me. Social pain, racial pain, financial pain, emotional pain, relational pain. And they're shouting for someone to listen to them. And these two beggars, they represent where our world's at right now. Maybe it's because of their gender. Maybe because of the color of their skin. Maybe because of their postcode. Our world is crying out Would someone listen to my cry? Would someone just be quiet and listen? Out of that crowd of hundreds of people, only one person heard their cry. The others just heard noise. There's noise all around, but between the noise, there's a cry. There's a cry. There's someone crying out right now in your world. Jesus heard. Love begins with listening. Second thing Jesus did, it says, is when Jesus heard, he says he stopped. He stopped. He stopped. You know, lots of books have been written about the steps of Jesus. In fact, my own dad wrote a book called My Walk with Jesus. We hear a lot about steps. But what we don't hear a lot about is stops. Right now, I'm more interested in stops than steps. So often in Scripture, the Bible says Jesus stopped at the tree and he saw Zacchaeus. Jesus could have been in a hurry and just walked past, but he stopped. Jesus stopped at the well and he saw a woman caught in adultery. He stopped. And if you've got to, first of all, you've got to hear the cry. And then you've got to stop in your tracks. He stopped for blind Bartimaeus. I tell you what, how people stop tells you more than how people step. What do I stop for? What do I slow down for in life? If I want to be used by God, if I want Soul Church to be used by God more, if you want to be used by God more, you got to slow down. You got to stop. Love shows up in interruptions. I've found this more often than not. Love shows up when you're prepared to be interrupted. I want to share a story. It's a moving story about a young man called Rakesh in India. 2015, Mark Hollinger, Colin and I, we were out visiting our work out there with Vision Rescue. And there's a couple of pictures going to come up on the screen. So it gives you some context to where we were at. And we were in Mumbai. We were out there filming for Heart for the House to inspire people to. We'd had a really full morning and we'd been filming for about 4 or 5 hours and it'd been, the heat was exhausting and it was maybe 90 to 100 degrees and we were sweating. We'd planned a lunch. As we were heading towards a sandwich place for some lunch, we noticed a man under a bridge. Mark and Colin said to the driver, "And hey, is that man okay?" And they said, "Well, let's just stop and find out." When we went under the bridge, we found this man, and from his chin to his chest, there was a hole, a gaping hole. And I'm not exaggerating, there was hundreds, if not thousands, of maggots eating this man alive. And I turned to the man who was hosting, as I said, "Is this normal?" He said, "It's quite normal." He says, "This happens every day. People get drunk. They fall over. They cut themselves. And there's no medical help. There's no money to support them." I said, "How much would it cost to get this man to a hospital?" He says, "Somewhere in the region of £2,000 to £5,000. I said to Mark, I said, he's one of our trustees, he said, "We need to do it." And we did it. Anyway, a long, long story short, he was just hours from death. And miraculously, the ambulance was able to take him. They were able to do plastic surgery on him, remove all the infection, rebuild his chest, rebuild his chin. He was reconciled to his family. He was reconciled to his children, and he found the Lord. It was an incredible story. But you know what? As a church, we were able, because of the generosity of people's giving, to make a decision to pay that medical bill. And I wish we could do that for the hundreds of others who were in that situation. But we were stopped in our tracks. Sometimes in life, you've got to hear, but then you've got to stop. And you've got to look around at what's happening. We stop. We listen. And then the Bible says he looked. He looked. What are we looking for? This is what we're looking for with people in a broken world. We're looking past people's behavior and we're seeing their worth. Now, this is critical, because I know many people, you're hurting and you've been hurt. The people who are a pain around us, I know a lot of it's self-inflicted, I get it. The people who cause you the most discomfort in life, often they've made some really poor choices. And that's the reason they're where they're at. And so easy just to walk by and say, oh, you need to sort yourself out and it's your own fault. And that's the human reaction. But God says no. He says, a new command I give to you, to love one another. And Jesus looked past the crowd's opinions. You see, the crowd saw the beggars as, oh, it's their own fault. They were drinkers. They made poor choices in life. That's why they find themselves in the position. But Jesus came along. He heard their cry. He stopped and he looked. And he says, I don't see you as a beggar. I don't see you in the decisions of your path. I don't see you the way that hundreds of other people see you. I see your worth. I see the way God created you to be. I see something different in you. When Jesus ever looked at people, he saw past their pain, past their sin, past their shame, and he saw their worth. Now, this is the thing. Do I look at people that way? And the answer, if I'm honest, is no. I try to. Often I have a critical eye, not a compassionate eye. I judge people too easy. You say, well, you're a pastor, you shouldn't do that. Hey, we all do it. This is why this series is a reminder to us all to love people. Paul said the greatest of everything is love. Often we can look at people with an angry eye, a prejudiced eye, a bigoted eye. But none of those things will help people. None of those things will help people. When we say comments like, serve you right, it doesn't help you and it doesn't help them. When we say comments like, you deserve it, nothing's going to change. I'm pretty sure in human eyes, those two beggars, they deserve to be beggars, because you're not born a beggar. And right now, we've got to look past people's behaviors. The Bible said so many times that Jesus looked at the crowds and he was moved with compassion. He wasn't moved with criticism. He was moved with compassion. By the way, when Jesus looked out onto crowds and it says he was moved with compassion, he knew some of the characters in that crowd. He knew that there were thieves in that crowd. He knew that there were racists in that crowd. He knew that there was addicts in that crowd. He knew that there was adulterers in that crowd. Yet Christ, he was not moved with a critical spirit. He was moved with a compassionate spirit. And I know people drive you crazy and they drive me crazy, but tonight is just to recalibrate, to realign ourselves a little bit and ask that the Holy Spirit would come and we would get under the spout of his love and he would fill us again, so we don't see people the way the world sees it. We don't see people on the sidewalks of life. We say, come on, come on, you can make it. You can make it. Love always believes the best. If I'm honest right now, I'm moved with more frustration than love in this season. I'm moved with more frustration than compassion. Brooke Fraser wrote a song 15 years ago, Hosanna. And there's a line in that song that has stuck with me for my whole life. It says this, break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks God's heart is people. The lost, the lonely, the destitute, the hurting, the broken, the needy. Those who don't have mums and dads. The only reason I get irritated by you is because I don't love you enough. The irritation's on me. So God, this is why I need you in my life. This is why you need more of love. Because when love is pouring in, love is going to pour out. Comes back to the teapot. But John, you don't know what they've done. You don't know how I've been treated. You don't know what's happened in my past, and I don't. All I know is the more I fill up, the more I can give out. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. We listen, we stop, we look, and then what? Look what Jesus did. The Bible says he asked. He asked. Verse, I don't know what verse it is, but it's in there somewhere. It says, what do you want to do for me? What do you want? What a crazy question. Two beggars on the side of the road. But throughout scripture, Jesus keeps asking this question in various scenarios. He says to the person, now just come with me here. We're going somewhere with this. This is going to help you. This is going to help you love others more. Just trust me here. Jesus asked so many times this question, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? When you ask people what they need and you don't assume that they know, they feel valued. I'm going to say that again. When you ask people what they need and don't assume you know, you create value to that relationship. You see, love is not suspicious. This is first base when loving someone. Do not tell them what they need. I have fallen short on this 100 times a day. The first thing we do when we see someone who needs love is we tell them what they need. Do you know what it does? Telling them repels them. It pushes them even further. How many times do you think these blind beggars have been told, you need to get a job. You need to clean yourself up. You need to sort yourself out. And Jesus comes along and he does the complete opposite. He says, hey, tell me, what's wrong? How can I help you? Straight away, they're sitting there going, wow, you're different to the rest of them. You're different to all those religious people. You're different to the scribes and the Pharisees. They've been telling me for years to sort myself out, but you've come along with a different approach. And I get this wrong. A few months ago, I was on the streets just shopping, and it was a homeless lady with my daughter, and I literally had nothing on me. And normally if we have something, or we go and get a coffee, we do something. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give you. And she looked at me, she said, I didn't ask for anything, I just wanted to be noticed. You know, the people who live rough on our streets, I know they need handouts. But you know, something even more, they want to be noticed. They want you to walk over to them and stop and look at them as Jesus did, and put your shopping to one side. And if they're sitting down, get down to their level and sit down with them and look at them and say to them, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know, I've been in that situation on the streets pre-COVID, and they've said to me, I just need a hug. Do you know, some of the people on our streets have not had a human hug in decades. Someone to wrap their arms around them and say, I believe in you, you'll make it. Do you know that's worth more than a £5 note? We got to see people the way Jesus sees them. The person in the office who's always angry, have you asked them instead of telling them? Say, hey, how can I help you? When we learn to ask questions, we learn how to be a better lover. We always struggle to love people if we start with our opinions. The better we start off with questions, the better we love humanity in this broken world. Try it in your marriage, by the way. This doesn't just work with people in your work or on the street. This works in your marriage. Ask your spouse tonight, how are you feeling? How was your day? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? Ask the person at work, how can I help you? As pastors at Soul Church, I'll be totally honest, how can we do better? If you've got some ideas what we can do, send me an email. JON@soulchurch.com. Now you've got my email address. Send me an email. If you think as a church we can do better, and we probably can in groups, in community, in ministries, let us know. I'm asking you the question. How can we love our city better? How can we love our church better? Loving is not weakness. It actually takes more strength to love. Number five, and finally, he moved. It says Jesus felt sorry for them and he touched their eyes. He moved. Jesus did what he could to help. He touched their eyes. Here's what we do. We do whatever we can to help. What if over the next 3 weeks of lockdown, we all did something for someone? What about if we picked up some groceries for our next door neighbor? What about if we sent a letter of encouragement? What about if we rang our dad and told him how much we love him? Well, you don't know what my dad did, and my dad mistreated me, and I understand that many of you have been through some pain of your parents, but here's the thing. If the only thing your parents did was to give you life, that's enough to say thank you. That the very reason you're here today is enough for you to say thank you. Maybe it's to pray for someone. Maybe the movement is to bake someone a cake and send it over to the house. Our world is crying out for love. Our world right now is crying out for Christians, for those who say that Christ lives in me, to live with the occupation of love. Jesus, he heard, he stopped, he asked, and he moved. I'm telling you, church, can we stand? This is what happens. Look at this. We're going to finish here. This is what happens when we put these five steps from Christ into practice in our world. The Bible says this, then they followed him. Whoa. Whoa. Four words. Then they followed him. They didn't follow him because he said an opinion. They didn't follow him because he told them what they should be doing. They followed him because he was moved. He stopped. He asked and he looked. People will be repelled by us if all we do is we ignore their pain. If we don't stop, if we stop looking, stop asking, and we're not moving. Love is the fruit. God's Spirit is alive in us. Love is a reflection of Jesus. We're going to pray just now. Two thoughts. We are resourced by heaven to love humanity. And we are employed by heaven to love humanity. You can't love until you know you're loved. You got to get under the spout of love. And once you know that you have the resource of love in you, you can go out and make a difference. This is the occupation of love. I've asked the team to prepare this beautiful song. It's called Valentine, written by Hillsong. It's just a beautiful song talking about this world is yours. And right now, this world is his. And I'm going to pray right now that God's Spirit fills your heart, fills your home, fills your office, wherever you're watching. I pray we get a fresh sense of our occupation, resourced by heaven, employed by heaven to reach those. This world is yours. Amen. Amen. Father, this world is yours. You love this world. Your heart is breaking right now for this world. Father, as we said so many times, it feels like, what can little me do to make a big difference? We take hold of the occupation of love. We're sorry for living in a bubble and not hearing what you would hear, not seeing what you would see, not moving the way you would move. And Father, I pray that we would have a fresh sense of love. Start this series, Lord. Lord, you'd give us opportunities, give us ways, give us resource to love people. Lord, I pray that we would be inconvenienced by love. I pray that you would bring people across our paths who need a phone call, a text message, some flowers. Lord, that people would see Jesus through our love. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the patience to stop and slow down. You would break our hearts for what breaks yours. This world is yours. Thank you, God. We pray for peace right now in our world. We pray for healing in our world. We pray that your kingdom come, your will be done in this world. We pray for a greater level of faith and wisdom in our lives. We pray that you keep our church strong in this season. Pray this season would bring us together, not separate us. I pray that we'd have a greater level of love and grace for one another's mistakes. I pray that when we don't always get it right, starting with Chantel and I, Father, I pray that it would be a great sense of grace towards one another. We're all under extreme levels of stress and pressure in so many different areas of our lives, but Father, we need to get under the spout of your love daily, Father God. I pray tonight there would be a fresh thirst, a fresh hunger for your Bible, for your word, for prayer, Father God, for devotion, Father God. I pray tonight, Lord, even tonight, people would open their Bibles, dust them down off the shelf, and they would fill themselves again with your love. And when they head into work, they head into the Zoom room tomorrow, Lord, I pray, Lord, that love would come out of their mouth. Love would come out of their actions, Father. I pray that we would understand our occupation, our job title on this earth is the occupation of love. Come on, one more time. This world is yours. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com. So we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.